Blog Talk Radio.
This is Livecast. That was Kids on Bridges. We are back. This is Senior Comics Bruce Mitchell and PW Torch Livecast for Black Friday, November the 28th, 2015. We're going to get right back to it. Travis, welcome back. So did you go out, you know, not only is Christmas coming, my birthday's coming. Did you go out in the midst of all the Black Friday specials and buy a overpriced television and get ripped off, or did you avoid all that nonsense?
No, I don't get into that crap. First off, I had to work, so I had to be up at the crack of dawn to make money, not spend it on nonsense.
Yeah. Every year I go home.
I think I will order a new PlayStation controller, though, as I figure, because it's just killing my thumb with no padding on the joystick, so I think I'm gonna treat myself to a new controller.
So before we, and I don't know whether people are gonna hear what we talked about before, so I'm gonna assume that we didn't. But I asked you the question: was Sheamus the new WWE champion who came into the championship about as cold as any champion of the last several years to blame for that? The blame for the record-setting bad rating was. Was Roman Reigns being pushed down everybody's throat and winning the championship and not turning heel, and Dean Ambrose not turning heel? Is that all to blame? Are the Divas to blame? What's to blame for that?
No, it really. I said there's not one piece of talent really to blame. It's if you want to look at one person, it is Vince, but it's the entire process, and it's everything. It's all of those things.
Right. So pwtorch.com/govip and coupon code for the dollar special, and it's a good time to start. There's a lot of stuff going on. Bruce Mitchell, BRUCEMITCHELL, all lowercase, all one word. Travis Bryant, TRAVISBRYANT. no kidding, Caldwell. James Caldwell chimes in with, "That's Wade." Like, I can't tell that's Wade writing on my writing on the production board here. So the arguments I have with Wade that I win constantly are weakened by Wade going back in and doing a little bit of selective editing. But and this kind of confirms that he's like going to edit out all this.
One, that's not true, and two, that's also not true. But
okay. Well, I just suspected that.
As pissed as I am now, I'm still, I'm still a Wade Keller guy through and through. You're not gonna slander my homie like that.
You just wrote down here, Travis Bryant is spelled TRAVISBRYANT, not TRAVISBRYANT. So he's trying to start that nonsense. So when you, if you're a Livecast listener who's wanting to sample Pro Wrestling Torch and spend a month listening to all the hundreds and hundreds of podcasts to listen to, with the interviews with the biggest names in professional wrestling, Bruce Mitchell audio shows, Wade Keller Daily Audio, all the things that Caldwell does and Parks and you do, and also just 20 and going through 28 years of written of newsletters well before the internet era, just a lot of stuff written for only. Only that dollar, and you can go to pwtorch.com/govip and put in either Bruce Mitchell, all in one word, lowercase, or Travis Bryant, all one word, lowercase. And it's important you do my name because, there's in the attempt to split us apart and to, and so that we're complaining to each other instead of seeing, what the man, how the man is oppressing us, and you know what man I mean. But anyway, help us out with that. And it's a very good holiday thing. I should also say, Travis, that I will be at the Benton Convention Center tomorrow for WrestleCade. 100 wrestlers of stars of today, particularly a lot of there's a lot of great indie talent around here, and a lot of them will be at this show. And then, particularly from the Monday Night War era, but and the ECW era, a ton of wrestling stars to meet and greet, get pictures taken with, and all that kind of stuff. And you get in for $20. It's a good deal, and you can meet and greet me for nothing. I mean, you gotta get in, you gotta get inside the building, but after that, come by and say hello. And I usually see a lot of folks. I'm there. Also, I believe that friend of the show and intermittent co-host, the Bruce Mitchell Audio Show, Britt Whitmire, will be there. And friend of the show, Johnny Fairplay, and John Hitchcock will be there. And they've already started, one of them at least, has already started whining to me about the other one. So that'll make my day go. But it's pretty cool. It's a pretty cool event. So hopefully folks will be able to come for that one. So anyway, Travis, you want to, I think we actually, now Travis sides with me more than you, Bruce, on these arguments. Yeah, that's a shame. That's kind of too bad. Now I like Travis again. See, he just likes you because he thinks you're on his side. There's not a real liking there. That's just, that was to make fun of you, Bruce. Why is that to make fun of me? I didn't spell his name wrong. Have I spelled your name wrong, Travis?
Well, that's a callback from last week, Bruce. I thought that was obvious.
Yeah, okay. That's true. That's that joke you made last week. Yeah, Wade's back on being funny. Oh, please don't say pwtorch.com/govip. So pwtorch.com/govip. And I have to say, I've looked up, there's a bunch of testimonials on that part of the site. There's all kinds of ways to subscribe and to make use of either that fit. We have a lot of different people, a lot of different needs and ways of getting the information. And it's all, and there's a way for you to get your information in the right way. So, let's see. What else should we talk about? Have you had a chance to look at the World Championship Wrestling 605 shows that got posted this week on?
I haven't. I actually just found out about it in the last day or two, in passing, in an article or something. Somebody wrote something, and maybe it was a thread or something on Facebook. Someone said paging Daniel Koyster and said, yeah, these things are just got posted. So that's how I saw it a day or so ago. So I haven't gone to check it out.
You've never really seen
any
of that.
Not the ones from the 80s. I saw like the ones Edge was on, and those are familiar. That was like 6:05 Saturday.
Yeah, that's true. But that was kind of a big, that was the era kind of passed, but
I didn't have control of, if we'd had cable, I didn't have control of it. Nobody was going to watch wrestling.
I so understand. There was one 6:05 Saturday night. I happened to be home visiting my parents, and they were about to show the Powers of Pain versus Road Warriors a bench press contest, and big angle. They're about to show it. My parents were like, turn the channel. They're going to show the weather. And I'm like, look out the window. The weather's on. And they're like, well, turn the channel. We don't watch that crap. It's like, no, you don't understand. I'm going to be on television, national television. They're about to show me because we were at the show. They taped us. You saw the camera with the red light looking right at you coming across because they beat up Animal, and they took him past us, and, like 6 inches away. And so, we were acting up, since we saw the TV. Your parents didn't care. You don't care if you're on TV or anything. Turned off and, have this fight. But the great thing was we had this fight about it. I turn over for the weather. I think we missed a part of it. Luckily, I had my VCR at home for my moment of glory. And then, but I saw, the last 30 seconds of. And then the phone rings. And it's my brother who's living in Florida, and this is what he says. Was that you on wrestling? And so my parents were not happy with me because I was pretty smart-assed after that. So that was, I told you I was on national television.
See? Yeah.
Of course, they're like, did they pay you? Are you going to be there? Shut up. So, anyway, if they only knew. So, but yeah, that was. But that stuff, I will say this: I watched a couple of them, you know, for nostalgia's sake and all that. And the one thing that stood out to me about the difference between now and then, one of them is wrestling's a lot smoother. It's a lot the wrestlers are more athletic and all that. The wrestling's good. I mean, that was the good wrestling was. But the guys that do the promos, even the guys that are bad promos, Manny Fernandez, Paul Jones, and then the guys that are the great promos, Arn Anderson, Ric Flair, Dusty Rhodes. But everybody is so much more confident in front of a camera. They're all so confident, and then it just really shows, you know, and it goes across the wrestling today because, you know, the guys that do promos in Ring of Honor and all the rest of it, and you've got to think micromanaged and produced like that. They're just not there is a big difference. Now, being me, being someone who saw that stuff when it was really over, you know, there's a difference between looking back, so I'm be curious to see. But that is prime time Dusty Rhodes and Ric Flair, prime time, you know, Road Warriors, prime time Midnight Express, and all that. So,
and you suggest just start at whatever beginning they start at, go from there.
Yeah, I think so. You want to look at 85 and 86, I think, more than they went 85. Just looking at it, I didn't like examine it completely and see if there's any holes or anything like that. They put enough shows with. There's shows from 1985, there's shows from 1986, and there's shows from 1987, and that's when the stuff was really, that was really good. If you want to, I usually don't say this, but the voice in my head is telling me to say this. If you're on the line and you want to talk, push 1. We're going to hit folks in just a second. We appreciate you calling in, staying with us as we work through these things. We're going to go to... we're going to go another 43 minutes. We're going to go to 8:30 Eastern Standard Time, 7:30 Central Time. What's that?
I thought Wade was in a cabin somewhere. I wish you would put your phone down.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's checking to see if I'm about to, like, say terrible things about it. And, you know, someone is one of the people that works really hard at the Torch who made an understandable mistake, and he didn't make it on purpose, so I'm not pointing at anybody.
It really is, for real, it's Blog Talk Radio's fault because they make you, the way they change the format of scheduling shows. It's absurd. It's so ridiculous now.
Yeah, I mean, we're here every Friday. We're here all the, you know, we're here Monday.
Yeah, but
Monday
you week. Have to schedule individual shows.
Yeah.
So I used to, like, with the East Coast cast, I used to be able to schedule a year worth of shows. Just every Wednesday, 6:30, same time. Here's the description. Here's who's going to be. Here's all the tags. And then I just have to worry in a year to remember not to forget to redo it. And now you have to do it every show. It's friggin' stupid.
Oh, I didn't know that. Actually, my first reaction was when this started to happen was that, you know, it was time to do it for the year or something. And that wasn't the case. So let's take some calls, though. 623, you're up on the PW Torch podcast.
Hey, Bruce, take that. All
right, what's going on, man? I haven't had a chance to even check the email. So what's going on? Sounds like you're having Thanksgiving still.
Actually, I just walked outside of the place. I'm sorry about all the noise. I'll go and get to my two comments and then one question. My first comment my first comment, travel, understand this part, is that Alicia, if you're listening, I hope you are listening, please call in back to the live cast or call into the live cast and also call into the East Coast cast or at least email if you can. Alicia called me to the East Coast cast and she said she heard about the East Coast cast from the Bruce Mitchell show on Friday. So we'd like to get some ladies interaction with the show.
Yeah, it's always a shocking and just, always taken aback, Bruce, when you're like, hey, you know, she was from San Diego, so it was like 619, who's this? You know, hey, this is Alicia from San Diego. It's like, oh, hello, you know, you get all proper, you know, you dust yourself off a little bit, try not to be such a slob, and even though no one can see, but yeah, no, for sure, it was,
I always think it's
and she had
sign.
Good stuff to talk about. it wasn't just some ditzy broad. Like, I like John Cena. You know, that kind of crap.
That's
just
great, Travis. You're doing really well until you did that. But I always
it
think
wasn't
a
ditzy broad. I'm saying. It's a good thing.
Broad. Oh, that's great. That's just great. Yeah.
Again, ladies, call in.
And Bruce, she did actually drop your name on the East Coast cast. She said that's how she found out the East Coast cast by listening to Friday's show with Bruce Mitchell. She actually said your name.
Well, that's cool. Well, you know the Friday live cast is just an adjunct to the East Coast cast audio show. I mean, I'm well aware of that, of the popularity of that show.
Oh, Bruce! I'm sorry, Brian, and you'll get this. Bruce, before we go any further, since we're a day after Thanksgiving, you have to answer one simple question we posed to all our callers yesterday, or Wednesday night. Pumpkin pie or sweet potato pie?
You know, sweet potato pie.
My man.
But I'm not going to be playing either one. Sweet potato pie.
All right. We'll leave it there. So, anyway, Brian, you can keep going. Keep moving.
Okay, next comment, but I do want to hear your opinion on this, is that, we've been talking about this for obviously way more than a year about Bray Wyatt losing all of his feuds. However, the part I will mention is that Ted DiBiase, who we all know is a really good wrestler, really good talker, but similarly, he had a lot of feuds in his WWF, WWE career, and I don't think he ever won one. The one he got over the most was his Dusty Rhodes feud, but Dusty was leaving the promotion at that time. So we talk about, you know, heels losing all their feuds. Ted DiBiase is a total, is a textbook version of a heel that lost all his feuds, but always came back and always had a lot of heat. That's my one comment, and I have one other question.
I want to talk about that for a second, though. If you're a heel, if you're a pure heel, if you're a pure villain, you should win for a while, but in the end, you should lose. And I remember years ago hearing that Blackjack Mulligan, who was a heel, you know, who was a heel in the WWF in the 60s and the 70s, and a major heel in Mid-Atlantic, and a heel in the AWA, he said that heels were really in the end jobbers. That at the end of a program, if the program's doing well, that heel should lose, and he should lose in a way that he should have some heat back. And I don't think that's the problem with Bray Wyatt. I think the problem with Bray Wyatt is he doesn't fight for anything. There's nothing of consequence. He never gains anything, and he never loses anything. He does these trippy promos, and he claims he's going to get somebody's soul or stop them or whatever it is, and then he just doesn't get it. Now, he did win against Chris Jericho, part-time Chris Jericho, sort of, but then nothing changed.
And he kind of beat Dean Ambrose, too. He just doesn't beat any, like, major.
But it doesn't matter. Dean Ambrose went on, and then Bray Wyatt went on, and part of it is he's not fighting for titles, but, and I don't know. I've thought, like, how do you change all this? Do you get Bray Wyatt where he gets a hold of somehow he wins the WWE title, and then he holds it hostage and doesn't make corporate appearances, and the advertisers don't want to put him on cereal boxes, and that's the story that he's, like, holding it hostage for this cult, and everybody wants to get it away from him, but he has, Luke Harper and Eric Rowan and Braun Strowman to stop them. I mean, is that – but I think it's more how, booking, you win a feud or you lose a feud and nothing changes. You don't go up the ladder. You don't go down the ladder. You're just slotted where you're slotted, and that's it.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, and my question is that I heard this, and I primarily listen to sports audio, so I'm pretty sure this is where I heard it from, about that Cody Rhodes or Stardust actually likes that character or likes doing that character, and that makes sense to me because he's pretty much all into it. But do you think with all of the injuries that we've had or WWE has had lately, that this is the time for him to finally break from that character and go back to Cody Rhodes? Now, my fantasy booking is that, he finally has this match with Goldust, and maybe Goldust beats him, or maybe Goldust gets over on him. And Cena comes in, attacks Goldust, Stardust stays his brother, then they have this tag team match, hopefully will be at WrestleMania. That's a long time away to do all this whole thing. And then, you know, Goldust talks to Cody, talks to Stardust, says, hey, maybe you need to get rid of the makeup. Or maybe Stardust says, hey, I need to get rid of the makeup and go back to Cody Rhodes for our dad. And then he goes back to being just Cody. And now we start his push with all this decimation of all his injuries. So, again, Trav and Bruce, my question for you both is this a time for Cody Rhodes to give up the Stardust character? Hopefully you both have a real good night. I'll talk to you later. And Bruce, you can put me on mute. Thanks a lot.
Appreciate it, Brian.
I mean, if you had asked me this 3 months ago, I really would have been like, yes, he shouldn't have started the thing. It's stupid. It's dumb. I don't care how good he thinks he is at it. It's awful. But something about the promo that Titus interrupted, that kind of made that character over with me. Like, I don't know if it was Titus touching his spiked shoulder pad things, and he goes, ow, and he goes, yeah, those are real. And then he just keeps talking, but something connected with me in the last week or so. So I'm almost, it's like 6 months or a year or whatever, been saying how garbage that gimmick is. But I don't think he's going too far as Cody. So if he can be Stardust with some ascension, kind of makes sense when they hang out with him. Like, oh, all right, I'm not mad at them now. Like, if he's got some heavies, that's all they're really anyway. Or that's all they really should be. Somebody's backup, somebody's goons.
Yeah, again, I would just, you know, one thing I do respect with him, but I think that I think that he could use this, is he knew that his father didn't like when Eddie Guerrero died, that they tried to make hay with Eddie. They tried to use that, and he wanted his sons, and very much, you know, Cody wants to have his own character and have nothing based on his father. He wants to make it himself, and I respect that. But I do think that there's a way to not do an imitation of Dusty Rhodes, which wouldn't work, but to use a little bit of what the family brings to professional wrestling and work through that. And again, I see this character, there's parts of it I like and there's things it can do, but it's just flailing around. It doesn't seem it needs WWE creative to give him a purpose. He has a goal. And why he's acting so weird. I mean, what's he trying to get? He wants something, and he's using everything, you know, all his powers, all his weirdness, all his manipulativeness to get it. And yeah, maybe have some stooges with him, have the ascension. Whether that's an intercontinental title, whether that's the world title, what's he up to and what's he fighting for? He's just on television to do you just get the sense he's on there to do a segment, and that just doesn't cut it. There's no reason for us as viewers to hook into seeing him stopped, or to hook into to hook into just watching him. You know, what's he up to? Would be there. But yeah, I did. I thought that was okay. And then I see Titus O'Neil, and like, to me, he's got a personality. There's something. His wrestling kind of stinks, but there's a personality there, and there's a size and a badass quality to them. If they could figure out how to hook into that, and I'm telling you, there's a lot. You know, HBU's and the fraternity sorority system. There's something that you could pick the right performer and use that to give him a base to get over with. That they're kind of, you know, he's doing the Florida honking and all that. I mean, that could, you know. There's something there if they would make it clear that that's what he represents. He just kind of bounces around, too, all over the place.
Yeah. No, I'm with you there.
Yeah. So let's 412, you're up next on the PW Torch Livecast.
Hey, this is Rich in Pittsburgh.
Rich, what's going on?
Not much.
Rich, you don't talk loud enough to be a guy from Pittsburgh. At least that's my...
Well, that's because I'm from Brooklyn originally, and I'm here by work and by family.
Oh, I see. That makes sense.
And the tryptophan kicked it in, so I might pass out halfway through.
Okay, there's one guy I talked to just talks really, really loudly. So, all right, anyway, go ahead.
Yes, yes, I'm where I see him usually when I go to soccer bar matches. He has his own horseman-style lounge area where he can relax. But, yeah, I was calling because...
and you know I'm not a soccer guy. He will tell me all about the big soccer game, and I'm just like, shoot me now. But anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just calling because, one, this is amazing because I feel like we are, as listeners, in Gorilla, as Vince yells at Michael Cole and JBL as things are going haywire during Raw with all of the tweets Wade's sitting out, all the messages he's putting on the board for you guys. You're fine.
Yeah.
Just do your thing. You're cool.
Appreciate that.
Yeah, and with Titus, it's funny because I work at a university in my day job, and I usually call Travis a lot on the East Coast cast. I hear that Q bark a lot with the HBCU black fraternities, especially the, I guess, the noobs. The noobs, I can't remember what fraternity he belongs with. And I heard a couple of days ago Dave Meltzer say the same thing. That's across the board. That's like all Greek life amongst black sororities and fraternities. Know when those guys do the Q bark, that's their fraternity. And they also have a dance move or something like that. But I was calling because I wanted to ask you guys a question about Reigns in particular. I feel like, myself included, I might give him too hard a time because a lot of the stuff, like the crying during Survivor Series, or him just being frustrated in some of his interviews. When I watch Wrestle Kingdom and I watch Okada bawling in the ring and Tanahashi's making fun of him, I appreciate it. When I see Roman Reigns doing it, I'm kind of thinking as he's a chump. And some of that is, I don't know what, maybe it's a bias against him from the fact that the company's pushing him, or maybe it's just in the presentation of it, but it was literally the same thing. Or even, heck, when I sent Travis the video of shot for shot with Daniel Bryan versus Reigns having the celebration and the cash-in, two different people, same situation, two different feelings.
Yeah, I think, you know, for one thing, Okada, Okada has all the credibility in the world. I mean, he's tough as nails. He wrestles that hard style. And so when he breaks down, you know it's not phony, even though it's part of it. Even though it's part of a contrived story, there's a credibility there. With Reigns, you're sitting there thinking, is he crying so that we're going to feel sorry for him, even though he's on scholarship, even though he gets, you know, he's got a smoother ride to the top than a lot of guys who are as talented that people think is talented or more talented than he has. And same thing with Daniel Bryan. Daniel Bryan was that organic. We want this guy. He's great, and they're trying to manufacture that with Reigns, and I think that's why you can have those parallel stories, and you can have some real good production in it and all that, but there, you know, are fans going to buy it? And they may still, but I think that's why. I think with Tanahashi and Okada, it's just like, you know how great this is. You know how hard they're working for, you know, their championship, and you know how much Okada wanted it, whether it was worked or not, and the emotion of putting on that performance and taking that beating and giving that beating is evident. You buy it. And that's where with Reigns, you don't know whether, you know, you don't really buy it. It's just, okay, this is another technique to push my button, and I'm kind of resistant to it. I think maybe some people take it that way. That's why, to me, it's not so natural. Travis?
Yeah, as far as the bias, I think that's I think that is there for a lot of people, a lot of grown men, especially. It's amazing how, you know, a year and a half, 2 years ago, he was the talk of the town almost. You know, man, Shield's great, and that Roman, he's going to be the guy. We knew it. He's going to be the guy. I can't wait till he breaks out. It was just when he broke out, it wasn't, I don't know, like we wanted or imagined. I don't know what we thought we were going to get. But I didn't have a problem with him crying, just that exact instance. To me, it was like, the guy cares. I didn't take it as, oh, he's putting on airs to try to, you know, gin up some kind of sympathy. I think that was either his natural, or not, it's not, I think he was crying for real, but that's just the emotion he wanted to portray, and I thought it was fine. It worked. Like, yeah, he worked all that time and got his title, and 5 minutes later he doesn't. So I'm trying to actively be less harsh on Roman Reigns with stuff that really that I probably wouldn't notice or care about with somebody else. In the ring, cut a bad promo, flub your line, then sure, you don't need to be.
Well, let me ask both of you this.
Soft pedaled, but yeah.
Something I thought for a long time, but do you think this has anything to do with it? WWE picks, whether it's John Cena, whether it's Hulk Hogan, whether it's Steve Austin, whoever it is, they pick somebody to be the number one man in the promotion, the number one good guy, and they put a lot of their eggs in that basket. They really do. And then Ring of Honor doesn't, and TNA doesn't, and Evolve doesn't, and all the rest of the promotions really don't do that anymore. And do you think that now, after John Cena and fans have, it's been accepted that you can have, that you can reject the top guy, that you can Cena sucks, or you can let's go Cena, that now whoever is that face of the company that WWE picks is going to face pushback from a lot of fans, no matter how good he is? Do you think?
I think that's it's something to that, but the company has to know that, and they have to keep the guy out of certain situations that's going to make him look bad or in those fans' eyes, or you just don't care and you push him. That's another popular thing with me. Just do what you're going to do. Don't worry about. I worry about it more with the company. Like, well, they're so used to the let's go Cena sucks. They expect and they book towards a guy not getting over with half the crowd. They've had 12 years, 10 years of that, and it's almost, well, that's how it is now. Like, well, no, that's how it was with Cena, because you guys refused to address it. Now you're going to do it again, and we're going to have another 5, 8, 10 years or whatever with the same dynamic.
Yeah, I'm
kind of look
that.
At it as, I don't know about you guys, but I look at it as if there was someone, like, look at Ring of Honor. Jay Lethal's the top guy. You have him talking or Truth Martini. It's not Sinclair coming out and declaring him the champion of champions or the face of Ring of Honor. If you look at Evolve, it's not Gabe Sapolsky coming out and constantly saying, this guy is my Evolve guy. I think the biggest problem is, since, and you've mentioned this numerous times, Bruce, since the focus is always going to be on the McMahons and the McMahon affiliates, who cares who the top guy is, because we really know the top guys or whomever comes out and says this is the top guy.
Yeah, that's true. And I think, yeah, I mean, and when you make it about winning the championships, and it doesn't matter, it doesn't have to be that Roman Reigns or whoever the top hero is has the world title all the time. But if they're in that mix and they're always pushing for it, and that's what the whole promotion is about, winning that world title, then you get away from who's being picked. And I think that's really devalued the title. That you know, the latest example was Triple H just telling Roman Reigns, we'll put you in the finals of the tournament. And really what he was saying was, we pick the champions, and if you go along with us, you'll be the champion. And so that takes suspense away from the fighting in the ring and fighting for that. And people, you know, and then it's just the soap opera of who is Triple H and Stephanie McMahon going to pick to be their next Seth Rollins or to be their Sheamus. And that's a more boring, less dramatic story to tell. Who's going to be picked to be the actor in the lead role is a lot more, to me, is a lot less interesting than who's going to beat some other guy's ass and make him submit or hold him down for 3 seconds and prove that he's better than he is, and then take this very valuable prize that's going to change his life. And then who's going, you know, and how are people going to manipulate? How are people going to manipulate each other and react to that? And, you know, who's going to turn on who and who's going to stand with who and all the rest of that's a lot more interesting, a lot more dramatic.
Yeah, if they would have, I think just as far as like having, it really comes down to authority figures, like that's, and the McMahons and whatever they're, you know, have going on, that's really what it is. It's the overarching authority figure that's a character on the TV. If they would have in 2007 or 2010 done completely away with authority figures, at least on air, taking up all the time, and especially being heels, it would be kind of new by now in 2015, 5 or 7 years later. Like maybe the authority wouldn't be this 2-3 year run that the authority is in the midst of wouldn't be just so inducing, because it's like, oh, it would kind of be fresh and new. But no, it's just a continued, you know, it's just the same line, same trajectory or same whatever word I'm looking for from almost 20 years ago.
It's a tired trope for sure.
And as far as with the title, they try, like a few weeks ago, JBL had a really great line about how he's still eating off of his year run as world champion. You know, I was able to buy my house in Bermuda because of that year. And if they emphasize that more, that's a reason why guys will fight tooth and nail, turn on each other, stab each other in the back. Triple H kind of, you know, said it to Roman Reigns. You know, we're talking about setting up your daughter's daughter's daughter. You know, not just feeding your family. You know, set people up.
That's a good point. And Travis, when you watch some of that World Championship Wrestling on the WWE Network that they put up with Ric Flair and the Four Horsemen and Dusty Rhodes and all that, they make it abundantly clear that the way to be rich is to hold those championships. That right. There's a life that comes with holding those championships. And Dusty makes it clear, and Magnum does too, Magnum TA, and Tully Blanchard makes it really clear, and they show it. And then they really do kind of live that life. And some of them, I think, you know, obviously wish that they had saved some of that money. But still, I mean, it's like very much when you're watching on television, you see why they want those titles and why they put, you know, they put that over so strongly. And like I said, there's more conflict and drama and fighting to be had among that than being chosen by your parents to be the number one son. I mean, that's a real...
Right, that's feudal garbage. Revolts happen because of that.
I was nodding all of that, too. I was like, they need to be saying that more, that being the WWE champion, Putsch is what... Being the WWE champion so many times is what put John Cena's face on Fruity Pebbles, not winning the ratings or selling T-shirts or being popular. What made him popular was he was winning his matches, and he wanted it, you know, and he wanted it in a way that people could admire. That's the story they should be telling with Roman Reigns. That's
well, he got on Fruity Pebbles because Rock destroyed him in a promo, and even in his destruction, made the guy a bunch of money. So yeah.
Well, that's That's not the story you tell on the air. That's the story we tell off the air.
No, go right on the middle of Raw and tell that story every week.
All right, Jason from Australia. We're going in the time machine and traveling to the morning. How's it going, Jason?
Afternoon.
I thought it was morning.
Well, they're like 18 hours ahead. So
and you know what?
Probably more than 8 in the morning. Oh. Probably like noon.
He dropped as soon as I put him on. That's not like Jason. Jason, come on back. Well, hopefully you'll be back in a second. So, I was going to ask him about his Thanksgiving one. You think he should do that? So,
I don't think so.
Okay, that's kind of my
mind. I mean, they did, not Jason, obviously, they did go and wipe out an entire population of indigenous people, but I don't think they shared a meal before they did it to celebrate the occasion.
Yeah. Here's one from Brian. This is This is a PW Torch live cast email question. A few months back on Total Divas, Kevin Dunn made an offhand comment that the eventual plan is to build the women's division around Eva Marie. Are we beginning to witness the start of that with her in the title picture in NXT? And if so, is this another Roman Reigns situation in the making? Well, Wade and I are going to talk about the latest developments in the second hour. We did the first hour of the Bruce Mitchell audio show. In the second hour of the Bruce Mitchell audio show this weekend. If I did my Russell Cape, I did do my Russell Cape plug. I will be at the Bentley Convention Center tomorrow in Winston-Salem, combined suit. Look for the guy in the ugly suit. I'll be standing next to him. Or look for the guy that looks like Santa Claus selling his books. I'll be standing next to him, too. So are we beginning to witness the start of that with her in the title picture next? See, I'd say yes. They want it. They're pushing Eva Marie as the anti NXT women's champion, I think.
Right, but my response is, yeah, they are, but don't worry because it's not going to work.
Yeah,
like it's going to fail, probably going to fail miserably. Because Eva Marie, as much as I like to look at her, like she's not good. As improved as she is from 2 years ago, that first season of Total Divas when she showed up, you can't be anything but improved because she was just a woman off the streets, literally. And so it's not going to work. That match that she had with Bayley was just, that was nothing. She's just not going to be able to catch up. It's just impossible.
Because
she's not a good enough natural athlete or have it in her that she wants to, I want to get better. And the smoke and mirrors stuff is going to, the more the division grows and the more Asuka's and Dana Brooks that show up and get over, she's just not going to have a place.
Yeah.
She's just going to get outclassed, and it's going to be absurd.
Yeah. Oh, I do need to plug this too. The Thanksgiving live cast went back 23 years with a Paul Heyman interview that Wade Keller did. And Paul Heyman interviews, particularly him predicting the future, and I know he did some future predicting, including some talking about Steve Austin. And that should be pretty interesting. So folks need to pwtorchlivecast.com. And, of course, if you're a VIP member, go through the site, pwtorchvip.com. And it's very – those are always worth a listen. Paul Heyman was very smart, very manipulative from the beginning. So I see that Jason has climbed back into the time machine. Jason, how's it going in the morning, right? End of the morning?
Probably like noon.
Yeah, that's right. Like 20 past 9 here in Perth, Western Australia. And I've got to tell you, it's a beautiful day outside. It's just lovely over here. Bruce, Travis, if you ever come to Australia, especially on the West Coast, I'll look after you, all right?
I plan to. I really do have plans to get there someday, hopefully before I'm 40.
Nah, no problem. Hey, yeah, Bruce, you were talking before about the heels and how the ultimate role of the heel is to be a jobber and, you know, to lose a program. Pretty funny how this authority program has been going on for about 2.5 years, and I don't really see that ending or see anyone getting over, so, of course, that must be the exception to the rule. But you were talking about before, who's to blame for the ratings. Well, I pin it on two reasons, the three-hour Raw and the authority. And, when you look at Roman Reigns, I'm not as tough on him as other people because I think the booking has really let him down. If you go through the history of WWE, when they want to set up a babyface to win the championship, and when they go for the championship as the first-time babyface, you look at Warrior, Hogan, Bret, Shawn, Austin, Batista, Cena. The first time they went for the championship as a babyface, they won. Reigns has continued to fail, and the fans see him as a chump. I really believe he's been let down by their booking. And just quickly, you mentioned JBL before, how he was a champion. You've got to remember, when JBL was a champion, he wasn't the champion. He was like the champion of SmackDown. And then you also had... Yeah, but you also had a champion of Raw. Now, I know a lot of people say the WWE were really good to merge the two champions. Well, I disagree with that. I believe that's like a false positive. They were correcting something that shouldn't have had to be corrected. I believe that if when you had two champions, you had an opportunity to push another person in a role that of a perceived importance. When things started to fall apart is when you had the two champions appearing, say, on Raw, and people then said, oh, well, then we don't need two champions. Like I've brought this up before. When you go back to 2005, Cena and Batista were able to be elevated by winning a champion each on the respective shows. If there was only one championship, John Cena may not have been pushed as a champion. I'm sure it would have gone to Batista. Does that mean for the next couple of years, Cena spins his wheels in the IC title, US title picture? How much would have it helped Roman Reigns if he was, say, the champion of Raw, and at the same time, Daniel Bryan was a champion of SmackDown? Then it wouldn't have seemed like he was being pushed over Bryan. It would have been, you know, complimentary.
Well, that's true. The problem, there's a lot of problems. And one of the problems with the split brand was, almost from the beginning, they kept bleeding over to each other, and they kept bringing SmackDown stars, the better stars.
Well, no. That's not true, Bruce. Not almost from the beginning. From the beginning, it was really strong. You had two years you got to remember the Bischoff Stephanie feud that was in '03, '02, and '03 up until about the time JBL was champion. And then when Batista and Cena, after their runs, it really became really weak, and then non-existent by 08, 09. But no, not from the beginning. It was really strong. They had a really even when Edge went over in 08, that was Edge's show. That was why one of the reasons why Edge was able to become the star. He was able, not at post.
Correct.
Post Hardy stuff, and even the stuff with Cena is, when he started the rated R superstar gimmick with Lita and all that stuff. He was able to go to SmackDown and hold that down, and that was his show, and everything I ran through him and Vicky and all that stuff. But no, it was very strong. Now, all that to say, it wasn't soft from the beginning. It got there, but it was actually...
I think I was real sensitive to it, at the very least. But yeah, I did. You know, but yeah, I think that right now, or even the last few years, they haven't had a deep enough roster where you could have two separate, you know, mid card, top of the card, opening matches and all that, and have it. I always thought you needed to have a separate type of announced team for both sides. One show should have a different type of action than the other, and really a different production value, and just have a brick wall between the two of them. And then, and even as far as running pay-per-views, and then build two top champions, and then, you know, at some point put them together, and not just the way it happened. They never could quite get to that point in my mind.
And Bruce, you raise a really good point. And it's just, to me, I see a number of talent who would really benefit. It's like Travis said, you know, SmackDown became Edge's show. Even JBL on his Twitter profile says he's the longest reigning SmackDown champion. See, I see guys like Titus O'Neil, Dolph Ziggler, maybe even a Dean Ambrose say, maybe they're the type of guys that belong on a specific show where they actually get an identity. So when I watch SmackDown, I know that's Dolph Ziggler's show. There's a lot of guys that sort of like just get lost in the shuffle and lose their identity. And in relation to Ambrose, look, I know a lot of people don't see Ambrose as the guy. They see him as a really good guy. But when, you know, the first time the Authority turned on Daniel Bryan, you know, we've had about 2.5 years of a heel being on top of Raw. Raw hasn't really had that much many great moments, because when Bryan won it, he was only champion for a month and then he had to drop it. I just would have thought, you know what, why not go in with Ambrose? I mean, really, what have you got to lose? You know, you had JBL talking about, well, it'd be funny to see him on the Tonight Show. What will he do around here? You know, do something like that. You know, let's have a good ending for once. Raw has been really depressing over the past 2.5 years. So I just thought it would have shaken things up.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I agree with stop pulling the rug out from under baby faces. I mean, and that's what I did like about it. At least the end of Raw, and not the greatest show in the world at all, but at least the end of Raw, Roman Reigns was put over. Like, he was the guy standing in the ring. He took care of the problem in front of him with Rusev and Bad News Barrett and King Barrett and Sheamus. I mean, he stood there tall. They need to do a lot more of that. They need, you know, they need for people to go home a little bit happy for a while. They've had all the heat on the heels. They've had all the heat on the top heels, which is the authority, and they need to, you know, they need to change that up. We're going to move to, I think this is the number, but anyway, 447. If you've been waiting, speak up because it's your time.
Hello?
Yes, yep. this is yours.
Evening, chaps. It's Amir calling from London. So, a couple of things. First of all, I wanted to ask, what did you make, and I don't know if you've seen it, but what did you make of Mick Foley's comments on Facebook earlier in the week about him being on the verge of being an ex-WWE fan almost?
Well, good for him. He's a lot of people, obviously, feel the same way.
Yeah, I felt, you know, he represented a large majority of probably wrestling fans worldwide, and I thought it was quite refreshing, but I wanted to see, you know, what the consensus was other side of the pond as well.
Yeah,
I think it hits harder for when a Foley says it, because he's seemingly always, not always, but he goes out of his way to be a company guy and to don't panic, it's going to work out kind of guy. For him to say, look, I mean, but he does criticize. He's not always rah-rah company. He does have his moments where he's stuff is blatant like this, and this is one of those moments where it's just, it's obvious, and it's obvious. It used to be like, man, why do ratings seemingly never really reflect. Like, I don't think the shows have been terrible in the last 4 to 6 weeks. I think the summer and then beginning of fall, there was some stinkers. But I think the last month or so, the tournament was done okay. But the 2.3s, the 2.2s, the 2.1s, I'm sitting here watching them like, these aren't terrible shows. These aren't as bad as the shows that were, you know, at the end of the summer, beginning of the spring, and they were still doing okay. It's just, I guess people are, it's just inertia. Things are just kind of, you know, you put on the brakes and everything kind of boom, 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 hits you in the back.
I think one of the most telling things he said was that he's basically stopped watching NXT because you start to develop a liking and, you know, one of the NXT superstars becomes your favorite almost. Then they get onto the main roster and they're just lost in the shuffle.
Then,
I think that was quite telling.
Then you don't watch them on the main roster. I'm not going to deprive myself of what I like and it's good. It's like, okay, I like Raw, but it's just not good right now. Or, you know, the main roster stuff just isn't good right now, but I still like it. Well, no, NXT, you like it and it's good. And they have good payoffs and good compelling characters and storylines. I wouldn't punish yourself for their crap. Just don't watch what you don't like, and they'll get the point. Well, maybe they won't, because here we are talking about a 2.16, and do we think anything is going to be different on Monday?
Doubt it.
Yeah, no.
So one more question. Fast forwarding a few months, looking ahead to sort of WrestleMania, is there anybody who Roman could beat and become the champion and not get booed the crap out of Monday the next day? Is there anyone you see that could do that?
I mean, that person could be Sheamus, but it's just, you think about the next 5 months with Sheamus as the champion, and it's just not. And how do they keep him away from Sheamus in the meantime and stretch it to WrestleMania? I guess he could win the Rumble, but yeah.
And I accept the Raw after WrestleMania is normally quite a pro-heel crowd anyway, but I just can't see anybody at the moment that Roman could beat and not kept good the next day, basically. And I just wanted to see if you had any suggestions almost.
Yeah, that's, Wade and I talked about this with Bruce Michelotti's show, the first hour of the show. And that's going to be, it's what Travis said, it's going to be a challenge. I think it can be done. But hopefully by WrestleMania, the guy has some momentum. I mean, if he doesn't have momentum by WrestleMania, Roman Reigns, then I don't know what the point is. You know, at that point, it might be time to pull the plug on him. Appreciate your call. Call back again next Friday. Good to have a new caller, particularly from London.
Thank
England.
You.
That was so call back again. And Travis, I will talk to you soon. Thanks for sticking with us on, you know, another on Black Friday on another another day where we had some issues to work through. Pretty cool, and we made it. So thanks, Travis,
yeah,
and I will talk to you folks. Hopefully, see some of you folks at Russell K tomorrow. Travis.
Thanks, Bruce.
All right, good deal. No.